Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of I Am Healed Radio, where a healing comes from a testimony. As usual, we've been having trouble with our Blog Talk music coming on. And here we go. That's wonderful. That's fine. The song says, I am healed. Praise the Lord. All right, now. Lord, I'm here. Oh, I'm here.
Oh, if you only knew. Right now, I stand before you.
Oh, I'm here.
I stand here.
Oh, I'm here.
Thank you, Lord. God touched me. He delivered me. Yeah. Now my heart is mended. Oh, I'm whole again. You see, there's no change. Yeah, guess what? Got my liberty. I'm healed.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The song says, I am healed. I am healed today. Okay? Today we are healed. It says, right now we are healed. And I am rejoicing in that. And my guest today is rejoicing in that as well. Because no matter what it looks like, she continues to just still call in. She continues to declare her healing. I had the pleasure of meeting this young lady over at the gathering last year in October in Maryland. Her and her husband came, and it was a pleasure to get to actually see her in person after only talking on the blog talk or conference call. So it was a joy to be able to actually see her in person. So we want to just get started, and I'm going to have her phone unmuted.
Say that again, yo.
Thank you, Lord. Hello, Tanya, are you there?
Yes, I am, Christina.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I agree with you. I enjoyed you and everyone else at the gathering.
Oh, that's wonderful. It was a pleasure to have you there. It was a pleasure to see you and your smile, and it was just really encouraging. I'm encouraged by when I see people that I talk to and have a good rapport with, even online. So it's nice to meet people in person. It was just nice meeting everyone in person, and it was just a delight. So tonight is the night, and I asked Tanya to be my special guest tonight because she's endured for many years with this thing that we were all diagnosed with, or most of us were diagnosed with, called multiple sclerosis. And so we're going to have some questions asked of her, and she's going to answer them, and we're just going to have a good old time. Are you ready, Tanya?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. So first, before we get to the questions, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what, you know, like your name, where you're from.
Sure. I am Tanya Henson Quinton. I was born in San Diego, California in 1950, so I'm not quite the young lady Christina keeps mentioning, but I do appreciate that. I do appreciate that. I currently live in San Domingo, Maryland, which is a small town that was organized and started by free blacks back in the early 1800s. And it's a small little town near Ocean City and the Atlantic Ocean, about 25 minutes away. So that kind of gives you a picture of where I am. It's called Eastern Shore, Maryland. And I came here because this was where my husband was born and raised. And I preceded him in retiring from the federal government. And when he retired, we relocated from Baltimore, Maryland to San Domingo, Maryland. So I like to say I was born in San Diego, but I currently live in San Domingo. So I'm pretty much totally retired. I do a few things here. My husband's family started the John Quinton Foundation. So I used to be real active in the foundation, and some of our projects required monies, so I would write grants for the project. As an example, my husband took on the project of restoring the schoolhouse that he and his neighbor kids went to when growing up in the 40s and 50s here. And it turned out it was called a Rosenwald school, and because of that, it was considered a historical building. And in writing grants, I was able to help the foundation get the dollar to restore it. So I think it was about a 10-year project, but it looks pretty good.
Wow, that's impressive. Wow. Awesome,
yeah,
Tanya. Awesome.
It was something near and dear to my husband's heart, so that made it near and dear to mine. But I was a single parent. 9 years old. My daughter was 9 years old when I first started feeling symptoms from multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. And as you stated, I do have a lot of history. I've been diagnosed now for 32 years, and a lot of living has happened on that journey.
Wow, I'll say 32 years. That's quite a long time to be diagnosed, and there's a lot of people living who haven't had the opportunity to get that far in it. Not that it's a badge of honor, but just the fact that you're still here and can still give God the glory. So you were diagnosed 32 years ago. What were some of your first symptoms, and how did you know that something just wasn't right and that you needed to see a doctor?
Well, I kind of ignored the first symptom. Pretty much the entire summer of 1986 on into the fall, I was exhausted. I now know that the fatigue that is common to MS symptoms. And having a nine-year-old daughter, it was real, because, of course, it was her summer vacation. She wanted to go here, there, and everywhere, and I just couldn't do it. And it wasn't until December of that year that I finally woke up and realized I needed to see a doctor. And that's because I was walking back to the office from a Christmas party, and all of a sudden my whole lower extremities went totally numb. So I told myself, gee, that's not right. I need to get into the doctor's office. And I was sent to a neurologist, and she consulted her colleague because she just wasn't sure what was going on. And as a matter of fact, they put me in the hospital where I stayed for 4 days because the CAT scan and the MRI, come to find out, showed a protrusion on my spine, and the doctors thought I had a tumor on my spine. So they were ready to operate and take that out when they realized it was a bone calcification. So thankful for that, that I was spared that. I certainly praise God for that, because the surgeon had already marked my back. And I was like, holy cow, this is really getting ready to happen. And so I don't know what's worse, a tumor on the spine or MS. I mean, either way, I had a medical diagnosis at that point and have proceeded from there.
What were some of the things they told you about MS? Because this was so brand new to you, I'm sure.
It was incredibly new. They didn't tell me a whole lot. They did ask that I be under their care for the following year. They wanted to see me quarterly. And at that point in time, there were no medications. So I was really just being observed. And, of course, if I had an issue, I was to come on in and chat with them. So the first year, that's what it was. I saw these neurologists every, 3 or 4 months. And then, you know, you just had to live with it. But I myself personally really dug in the computer through Google search and read everything I could get my hands on about this condition, because I didn't know anything. I was really blessed. I have to tell you, Christina, the first 10 years, my symptoms were mild. I only had, you know, tingling from time to time, numbness in different areas of my body from time to time. So I was very fortunate. The doctor called it relapsing remitting, and it wasn't until around year 10 when I started having balance issues, which led to walking issues. And the doctor said, gee, Tanya, it looks like you've progressed, secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. So then, of course, I had to research that and see what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is I'm just kind of stuck with it. I lean on my husband, who's an excellent caregiver for me, and I lean on the Lord, because He takes care of me, and He takes care of my husband and everyone. So that's how we've been getting through this.
Wow, that's good. I mean, to acknowledge that you needed God at that time of your life, and that you needed Him even more, and that He was the one carrying you through, you and your husband. And speaking of your husband, so you had a daughter prior to getting married.
Yeah.
So when you met your husband, did you tell him about this MS? And because neither of you probably knew too much about it. So did you tell him, and what was his response to that?
Well, actually, Christina, we both worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I was actually on his staff. So he knew I was ill, and he knew that I was in the hospital. So he and a fellow staff member, you know, came out to visit and see what was going on. At that point, they hadn't really told me yet MS. But when I got back to work, you know, I let them know what the diagnosis was. And I wasn't sure how it was going to impact work. But I would, you know, just do my best to continue working to the best of my ability. So he was in it from the start. And at that point, we were just dating. It hadn't moved any further. But when the relationship did start getting more serious, he's just so great. I mean, to him, it was nothing. It was a no-brainer. You know, this is what it is, and we will continue down this. So he was always a team player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
I think it's really, really important to have people by our side that are that just that, team players and support systems. I think what's interesting to me about your diagnosis then and compared to now, we know a little bit more about it now, but both of you kind of just went into it like, okay, here we go, not knowing what was going to happen, what was going to take
exactly.
place. What the future would be 20 years from now, you just kind of were like living life and like, okay, we're just going to do this. And I think that,
exactly.
that's a wonderful thing. Yeah, it's so different.
How
was your daughter with this? How was your daughter at that time? Did she understand?
Well,
because I know my children were young too when it happened. So how did she respond?
Yeah, she was 9 at the time. And, of course, she was real concerned about mommy because my mother and dad were watching her while I was in the hospital. And then mom was over at our place a lot afterwards when I got home. So, you know, Vanessa knew something was up. And I did tell her, you know, about the condition. And, of course, she wanted to make sure I wasn't going to die. And that was uppermost on her mind. There was a pretty large impact on her because I was also a Girl Scout leader, a junior Girl Scout leader, and she was in my troop. And we were going to do a field trip to the Kennedy Center to see the Nutcracker. And I had to back away, but I just couldn't handle going. So that upset her. So then she didn't want to go. And, of course, I had to convince her that it was not a big deal, you know, that she should go and enjoy the program and tell me about it when she gets home. So it impacted her, but she seemed to adjust to it well also. I mean, she got used to the fact that there were times when I just couldn't do what she wanted to do. And she just learned to accept that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Very wow. Yeah. Did you have other children after that? Or?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Did you have children after that? Or is it just the one
daughter? No.
Okay.
I had my daughter, and she's in her early 40s now.
Okay.
And she's also a good source of support. With the MS, and when she comes to visit us, she picks up some of Newell's chores or duties, I should say. So she jumps in and helps where she can.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. Yeah, she's able to help you as an adult now. So she probably understands more. She lives with this most of her life.
Yeah.
Just like my young children at that time, yeah, they were young, and then they grew up, and now they live with it most of their lives, so they just don't, it's like not, like it's nothing, but, you know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah.
You're right.
Okay.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know what my mom would be like if she didn't have it.
Right, exactly, Tanya, exactly. Yeah. That's the same mentality, right?
right.
Wow. So
when
did things start getting, did the MS progress? I know you said at one point 10 years later you went into secondary progressive MS. So have you stayed in that way, or where is it now?
I am still secondary progressive and have been, I guess, for 20 plus years, like 22 years to be exact. I haven't bothered to look at what could be next, but I just don't want to look beyond that.
Right.
I have had more progression, mainly with my walking. My doctor wrote me a physical therapist order and an occupational therapist, and my physical therapist recommended to me that I start using either a cane or Canadian crutches. And I kind of fought her on that for a while, and she told me, you're hard-headed. You're your own worst enemy. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard that before. So I gave in and got the Canadian crutches, and truly it was a blessing. I mean, I could get around, not even the least bit concerned about falling or, you know, wall walking. I don't know if you ever have done that, where you kind of keep touching the wall to keep you up.
Yes.
And
yes,
the
I
crutches
do that now.
Just freed, yeah. The crutches freed me, and I have never regretted finally doing that. Then at some point, you know, the progression kept going, and every now and then I would use a manual wheelchair. If I was going, like, on an outing with my parents, someone would push me. Or if I was going to the mall, my daughter would push me. And unfortunately, I broke my ankle in 2011. And at that point, I just could not walk anymore, even with the crutches. So at that point, I got fitted for a power wheelchair, and that's what I've been using since about April 2011. When I broke the ankle, they had to do surgery, so I was in a cast for about 6 weeks, and they actually referred me to a nursing home to do some of my early recovery. So that was a whole new different experience. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, are you non-weight bearing now, or do you stand a little bit, or as far as
I don't stand at all, Christina.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your husband is there through it all, huh?
He sure is. And okay. I have to admit, I got depressed at some point in 2016, actually. And I was depressed roughly for a whole year. And I'm sorry, you can probably hear my dog bark a little bit, but trying to calm her. But I lost my train of thought, but I'll get it right back. Oh, I was talking about being depressed. Yeah. And my doctor urged me, this is my primary care, urged me to start seeing a therapist.
Okay.
So I did that and started seeing Daria in January of 2017, twice a month. And then after about a year, we backed it down to once a month. And quite frankly, I'm still seeing her. We've talked about discharging me, but if I'm discharged, I can no longer get antidepressant medication because you have to, at least where I am, you have to be in counseling in order for a psychiatrist to. I'm not opposed to sharing this because we need to pay attention to our emotions. This having a chronic illness will be a little difficult to contend with from time to time. And even though I was blue for a year, I don't know why I let it go on that long. And I didn't turn away from God, but obviously my faith was not as strong as it should have been during that time. And I'm not proud of that, but that was the reality. And 17, I have difficulty remembering when I started, when I discovered the huddle. I actually think I was on an MS Crystals free MS teleconference call, and I think he told me about the huddle. And it was at that point I joined Pastor Eric's group, and I was a member of Crystal's group, and it was just very helpful to have the conference calls. And of course, with Pastor Eric, it's a Christian ministry, and it's been beautiful for me because has really helped me in my healing walk, and I am healed. And it's funny. Oh my goodness! I would say it's been 20 years ago. My brother and his family were visiting me when I lived in Baltimore, and my brother whispered to me, "You know, Tanya, you are healed." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "The word says that by his stripes we are healed." And we just sort of left it at that. And now with all the teaching that Pastor Eric has done on Isaiah 53:5, and with his stripes we are healed. And then the Matthew, I mean, no, it's not Matthew, it's Mark. I even printed this out because I didn't want to mess it up. But, of course, let me start with verse 23 because I think it all works together well with 24. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That is so powerful, you know, that God has given us that ability to receive what we pray for, and that we can pray for anything, and we will receive it as long as we believe. And it makes by his stripes you are healed become even more uppermost in my mind. So I remember at one point Pastor told me to meditate on the, you know, do not conform to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and kind of rambling, but it just all fits together. It all fits together, and it has become even so much more powerful to me and more meaningful. And I love the huddle for that. I love the huddle for that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that you you're able to meditate and able to bring everything together, because it does go together. All of it goes together. All of the words, all the scriptures that you just mentioned, all of it just goes together. I love that you caught that revelation and you were able to read it back and say it back, and you know, it shows that you've heard the word of God and you took heed to it and it resonated in you. And that's wonderful to hear. And I'm sure Pastor Eric is extremely happy that you are saying this right now. And so I'm glad that the huddle has influenced you, and I'm glad about that. So what do you do differently now than before the huddle? And I guess what I'm saying is, you're in the huddle now, and you have the scripture and everything. What did you do before that? What do you do now that was different than how you were thinking before?
Well, before, I had my belief. I was a born again Christian, and I would read the words. I would read the scripture. I would hear the lessons on Sunday at church. But I don't think it all totally understood. And therefore, I wasn't connecting the dots. So coming to the huddle has, like I said, I connect the dots now after I comprehend what Pastor's teaching. And it makes before look kind of pitiful from a Christian perspective. You know, it just really does. And before, I kind of forget your question, but
what did you do before that you do now? That you don't, what do you do before that you didn't do now, that you don't do now?
Okay. That whole time period where I was depressed, I have not experienced depression again, and I don't intend to, because I have tools now to help me avoid it, and I certainly have the Lord to lean on to help bring me through. I wasn't exercising much at all before, and now I try to do at home my physical therapy and my occupational therapy routine. I'm not as consistent as I should be, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
What
that's
else?
Wonderful. I think the thing that we all are, we can all, we're not as consistent as we want to be. I know that I'm not as consistent either, but I try to be. And when I can get to that mode where I'm not so busy that I can stop and say, hey, you're supposed to be doing some leg lifts or, you know, something with your hands, strengthening your hand, or, you know, the issues that I've had. And along with speaking the word of God every day and just confessing the word, you know, speaking the word back to God that I am healed by his stripes and, you know, Mark 11 and just being able to have that confidence that God is who he says he is. And I'm just so excited. I'm excited that you're there, and I'm excited that it shows us that no matter what or how long it's been for us, we have this hope in Christ that he's a healer still. So I'm very excited for you and very excited.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm too. But I think this better understanding of his word has also, of course, changed my attitude. My daughter even mentioned the other day, Mom, you just sound so positive. I said, really? Mm. And she said, yeah, you sound real positive. So I know that's a change. Not that I've been a Debbie Downer, so to speak, you know, but, you know, sometimes I was not looking at the glass as half full. I was looking at it as half empty. So having a positive attitude is certainly be, and I know part of that also comes from my husband. He has a positive attitude all the time, and eventually that's got to rub off on me. You know, having been with him now quite a while, I think she finally gets it. But that worked.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Again, I think it's wonderful to have a spouse or that support in your husband. And you've been married. How long have you been married?
Goodness, we got married in 95.
Okay.
Oh, my math is so bad. I know it's
20.
I think it's what?
Four, almost 24 years?
Right.
23, 24 years? Yeah.
Yeah, in October, 24.
Yep.
I was
thinking
about
that
the other day. I said, oh, our silver anniversary is coming up. I better start dropping now. I better start dropping hints now.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Get him thinking so he's prepared. He knows what to get.
I'm sort of teasing. We don't really get into the gift thing that much.
Okay.
But it is nice to get a little something for a special day. Yeah.
It is. It is every now and then. What do you two do for each other that it's just so special. Like, even if you might be in a wheelchair now, what kind of activities do you do? Do you go on dates, or do you just kind of, is it nice to just to be at home with your husband? I'm curious because, you know, when you're in a, they call it inter-able relationship, you know?
Interesting. I didn't know that term.
Yeah, I just found out myself, so.
Okay. I specifically, we make an effort to at least do an outing at least twice a year. By that I mean, like,
okay,
go to Ocean City, you know, go up and down the boardwalk, or go to Assateague and Chincoteague, see the wild pony, and spend quality time with each other. We, in the past, have actually done cruising together, but I was not yet in the wheelchair, as
okay.
I recall. Well, maybe I was on one of them. So, you know, being in a wheelchair has its challenges, but then any kind of illness has its challenges.
Mm-hmm.
His kids come to visit, and we have, Noel has very young little grandbabies. They're sweet.
Okay.
Little three-year-old was here the last couple of days. And that's a joy to us to have him here running around.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to
sound
terrible, but poor little baby yesterday, Amy started taking the sheets off the bed, and he got upset and started crying because he knew that meant they were leaving. And I had no idea the poor little baby, you know, was reacting that way because I said, what's wrong with baby boy? And she said he doesn't like the fact I took the sheets off the bed. So I'm thinking, you got to stay another day, but I didn't say it, you know, because I would like them to be here as long as they want to, but they got to get back home to daddy and, you know, carry on with life. But I also, my daughter comes to visit, and that helps Noel have a little downtime, which I like him to have that because he's always doing. We have a hobby farm, so he takes care of the animals every day, and he takes care of our doggy, and he takes care of me, you know, and it's on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that him doing his animal work is a way for him to relax. So that's a good thing. And I guess that's one of the ways we keep things going well, because he gets his free time, and quite frankly, I get my free time when he's outside. You know, not that I need it, but it's good. You know, you gotta have a little space, and we're right here at home, and it, you know, you can't get that far from one another. I'm sort of joking. Yeah, he's got a nice sense of humor, so that keeps us having a nice time too. Yeah, it's all good, Christina. He's a good dude. Yeah, I lucked out.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you definitely did. Not everybody is that fortunate to have somebody. I've heard a lot of people. I'm sorry, say it again.
I was just agreeing with you. It's so sad.
Oh. Yeah. They get in relationships, or they get married, and their spouses leave them because they can't handle the pressure. You know. Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful. Oh, amazing. Amazing. I'm going to open up the lines, and if anyone wants to just say something real quick, or give some encouragement, or just, you know, pat Tanya on the shoulder, because she was nervous, guys. She was really nervous. She's like, oh, gosh, I'm nervous. And I'm like, okay, well, you'll be okay. You'll be fine. And so we do have a question, or someone wants to say something. Last two digits, are 7256. 7256, hello, you're on the air.
Good evening, Tanya. Good evening, Christina. This is Marla.
Hi, Marla.
Hi, Marla.
Hi. I just want to commend you for your positivity. I love the positive attitude that you have. I can't wait to see you again in October.
Right.
And to pat your husband on the back and to give him a hug because he is a trooper.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see you in October. That's all.
Oh, thanks, Marla. I look forward to seeing you too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And there was no reason to be scared. We're all family.
Oh, man. I was, even just before calling, I was like, oh, my gosh. Deep breath. Crystal, just pray before you get on. Pray.
Right.
I said, okay,
right. We got you.
Yeah.
We got
okay.
You.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you, Marla.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we have another one, 9511, 9511.
Hello, Tanya. How are you doing? Tanya,
oh,
how you doing?
Thank you. I'm fine, thank you.
I enjoyed your interview, and I enjoyed you tonight. And I thank you for your testimony, sharing your life. I just enjoy the excitement that you have regarding the Word of God and how God, for yourself, to how you see the change that God is doing in your life. And I want you to be encouraged, keep moving forward, keep doing what you're doing, and watch God continue to do more in your life. Be encouraged. I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Richard.
Wonderful. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Minister Richard. God bless you. Amen. Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you guys for calling in. We appreciate that. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have everyone give you some encouragement. And by the way, Tanya, you did great. You did great tonight. You did awesome. It was like you're a pro. I'm like, what nerves? Where is she nervous at? I don't see it anywhere. We have one more person.
Water. My mouth is dry.
Oh my goodness. Okay, we have another person. 5520, you're on the air.
Hey Tanya, how are you? This is your
Pastor
Eric. How you doing?
Hello.
You're doing me proud.
Good.
I am sitting back just listening to you, and I had a tear in my eye when you called my name, and just listening to you share your story, because I remember the days when we would email each other back and forth, and you would tell me some things that was going on, and we prayed together, and just gave you some scriptures to meditate on, and just so excited about your growth and excited about what God is doing in your life. And I just want to say I love you, and I pray that you just continue to stay in the Word and continue to trust God, and can't wait to see you again in October.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
October is going to be great.
Oh, yeah. I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. It is. Definitely. Thank you, Pastor Eric.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, amen. Amen. Oh, that's wonderful to hear all the accolades and all the praises going for us. It's just wonderful. It's not a problem. I enjoyed you tonight. I really did. I enjoyed hearing about you. I think that's the interesting thing is that not only did you tell your testimony, but I got to hear about you and learn a little bit about you, what you did and everything, and you know what you worked in. And I think that's just really interesting just to hear all that about you.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we don't know. I don't know much about anyone, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Other than their comments on our calls.
Right.
So
right.
That is kind of nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It is. We'll be definitely having more people from the huddle on to introduce themselves and kind of get to know each other. Other than, like you said, other than just on the call, you know, what we hear the voices, but just kind of check in on each other and get to know one another. And I would love to do that. So It was an honor to have you on our show tonight on I Am Healed, Tanya.
Thank you
so much for being my guest. You are so welcome. Everyone, thank you for the callers that called in who had something to say, and even the ones that didn't have anything to say but are just joining in and listening in on the conversation. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you here, and God bless you all. Have a wonderful night, and don't forget to call in on this Friday at 8 p.m. for Bible study and prayer. Amen?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. All right, everybody, have a great night. Good night.
Good night.
This is for everybody who's been restored. D. Lawrence coming at you. Get up. Come on, y'all. Let's sing this song.
Got a story to tell you.
Yeah.
About some things that I've been through, but I'm here.
Yo, I'm Heath.
Oh, I'm here.
I like that.
Had some ups, had some downs.
Oh, if you only knew.
But I'm here.
Right now, I stand before you.
Oh, I'm here.
I'm healed. Yeah.